And welcome back to MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Today is kind of a special episode. I have another guest with me, a good friend of mine, Keelan. I'm going to let him introduce himself here in a minute. But we are going to talk about the Hour of Devastation spoilers, and we're going to go into what's going to be good in Sealed and what's going to be good in Draft. Please enjoy.
Hello, everyone. My name is Keelan. Nice to meet everyone. I'm here with Carl. I'm glad to be on the show. I'm super excited to talk about this set. I've been playing Magic for about 5 to 6 years. And that's a little bit about myself.
So Keelan is amazing at draft. He's our local draft master, has yet to be beat. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with multicolor for Hour of Devastation and work our way through the colors. I guess let's start with the big five to start. Nicobolas, Samut the Tested, and the Three Gods. Which out of these three, I guess, do you think... I mean, it's probably Nicobolas, but out of the rest of them, which ones do you think will have their impact in draft and sealed?
Honestly, with these, the gods are just insane. The gods are insane for limited. The 2/5 mana, the Scarab God and the Scorpion God, are just they seem really sweet. They seem like they'd have a big impact. Nicobolas, of course, being just a god, he's just insane. But he's so high costed. I still see him like if you play him, you could easily probably splash him with the lands in this format. And then Samut, I just don't see Samut. It just seems like a very mediocre limited card. I'm not sure. It is a walker. I mean, walkers are really good in any limited, but in this set, I just don't see it being super impactful. It doesn't really protect itself that well. You'd have to play it pretty late, but in sealed, it seems pretty okay. But the gods are just great by themselves. So the fact that they recur themselves when they die just seems really good in this, just because there's not a lot of exiling in this format and not a lot of removal, so they seem great.
So the gods seem really good, Nicobolas seems good, and Samut the Tested seems bad. So here's my idea on Samut the Tested, and it's jank as all hell, but it's fun if you can do it. So imagine you're opening up draft, sealed, and you get Samut, right? So no one's going to expect you taking her to 7 and then searching for more Planeswalkers. So what if you ended up getting a Nicobolas just for whatever reason, or you ended up opening Amonkhet and getting another Planeswalker out of there? That's a way to cast your gods for free. Provided you don't draw them. It seems terrible, and I think she's going to be another like $3, $4, $5 walker at best. But maybe I'm underestimating her power on that.
Again, with Samut, like even if you have like the situation where you have pulled like another planeswalker like Nicobolas, that would be. I mean, it seems pretty sweet, but like in the occasion of doing that, you'd be having a four color deck. Again, like if you had Summit and you just like put Nicobolas into play, you would have to have a very heavy creature deck to where you're just protecting Summit, or you're just having like a huge creature deck and you're kind of just like basing off of protecting your god or your walkers. Like Nicobolas Unlimited seems very okay. It's because like it's -4, dealing 7 to a creature seems okay. I mean, it seems good, of course, in Unlimited, but I mean, like. And then the plus seems really good, and then the plus one, getting two things from someone's hand, like limited wise, it just doesn't seem good. When you go up to 7, when you play this on your 7th turn, and you're kind of like you're trying to get something out of their hand, they're already gonna have nothing in there. Nicobolas again, once you play this, you just can't beat it. It's gonna be a really hard planeswalker to just defeat. But I think the plus two seems really good. For limited wise, Samut seems just very, very poor. I don't see like there's so much evasion in this set. I just don't see her like just seeing much play. I mean, if you have her, you have her. You're gonna play her. I just don't think she's gonna be that great.
She does get out creatures too with her search, which is fine. I think she'll see like a swing or two towards her when she gets closer to 7. But I agree, she's not the walker that you want to be worried about in the set, possibly at all. I think we have yet to see a red-green walker since probably Domri Raid / Xenagos done right. Those two were arguably the two best green walkers, and even then they haven't made a long-term impact when you look at it financially. I think Domri's sitting at 5 and Xenagos is probably sitting at 10 still. But I'm drifting off on that one. Let's look at, I guess, the Locust God, Scarab God, Scorpion God a little bit more in detail. So to me, the best out of these is probably the Scorpion God. The fact that it's a 6/5 body makes it one of the strongest creatures in set, and then it's just able to make your opponent's creatures get weaker, and then -1/-1 counters are a huge thing in this set. So if your opponent's just so happen to be playing a neg one deck, and your Scorpion God's just going back and killing stuff, that's more free cards for you to draw. Then again, you could also build yourself your own neg one counter deck and just go from there. But that's what I think. I think the Scorpion God's the strongest, probably followed by the Scarab God. I don't think the Locust God's going to see... It's going to see draft and sealed play. And it might see a one-of sideboard card or a one-of mainboard deck card of the red-blue control deck. But that's a big might. I think there's a lot to deal with the Locust God right now. I don't like what they kind of did with it, but if he sticks and then you're starting to be able to turn out counter spells or draw spells... then he's going to make an army for you, and I think that's where he's probably going to be strongest.
And with me, I believe the Scarab God seems probably the best. The trigger on the upkeep, just making them lose X and scrying X, where X is your zombies, like, if you can play around that with limited, it seems insane. But for other formats like Commander, it's insane. And being able to exile any target creature from any graveyard in limited, that seems really good. Getting a 4-4 4 mana, late game, it's going to happen a lot, and it's a, again, both of the gods, everything, every god except for the Izzet God, the body on him is insane, the effects is good. I will say the Scorpion God seems really good. The only thing with the neg one counters is it's, most of the neg one counters is in green-black. A lot of that is going to be in black, so again, with what Carl was saying, it's going to be really good if you can base your deck around that with neg one counters. Drawing cards seems insane. You could even maybe play like a Grixis deck and splash blue just for like the more card draw and more like big creatures. But it does seem really good with the neg one counters. Another thing to go back on with Semet is a really fun thing I see is the plus one. If you're playing Two-Headed Giant this coming up weekend, you can target one of your partner's creatures to get in that double strike damage. That just seems pretty fun. That was a little interaction that I see that's seems like it'd be a little fun. Going back on the gods, the Locust God being probably the worst god, it's just so expensive. And honestly, for this format, there's a lot of 3 and 4 drops. And the 6 drops, it seems kind of like a little impractical to play. Honestly, with this format, I'm probably going to be playing 16 to 17 lands. Probably 17, of course, being the golden number. But again, there's a lot of 3 drops. So maybe 16, because there's so much cycling. I'd probably be playing 16 lands and like trying to get this Locust God out. If you play it, it seems okay. Again, like if you're playing a red blue deck with the discard and, or with the draw and discard with the looting ability, it seems really good, of course. And having a bunch of 1/1s, like if you can somehow that the card alone is going to win the game. But I think just the body on it's okay, the ability's okay. I would say the other gods are definitely better with the abilities, but looting's always good in blue red deck. And again, like late game when you're needing that loot effect, it's going to be really good. But again, I think the Scarab God is probably the best, just because making 4/4s that are permanent just seems really, really good. And then the Scorpion God is just another, again, it's so good that the pay ability is 3, and you can probably, like, late game, you play this turn 5, turn 6, you just use this ability twice, and you keep 2 toughness, like, that seems really, really good. And that's all I have to say on the multicolored gods and the Planeswalkers.
You know, it's actually strange going back to the Locust God and the Scarab God. They kind of had, I think, swapped abilities. And by swapped, I mean normally we don't see red and black just straight out drawing a card without some, like, really bad side effect. And blue just draws cards like no one's business without having something. So here, the Locust God having a loot effect for 4 seems kind of mediocre compared to the Scorpion's God. I'm just going to straight out draw a card. I don't know why Wizards decided to do that. Maybe they really wanted to push the Scorpion God for other formats, and maybe they really wanted to tone down Izzet because God knows they don't like combo, so gotta hit control in the nuts, but I don't know. I agree. I think the Locust God is weak, and I think the Scarab God and the Scorpion God are constantly going to swap back and forth. The one issue with the Scarab God is there's a lot of white zombies in Amonkhet, so you're not going to get the additional cost of white without having to splash. So possibly with drafting Amonkhet and drafting Hours of Devastation, you might go and do Esper if you're getting zombies, which I'm a huge fan of Esper, so I'm not going to complain. But there are plenty other multicolor cards in this set. I think the multicolors right now are Bloody Water Entity, Unraveling Mummy, Resolute Survivors, Obelisk Spider, and River Hoopa, or Hoopo. Not 100% on that pronunciation. And that's not, of course, including the split cards now. We'll get to the split cards later on, but I want to focus on the 5 other multicolor cards in this set. The weakest overall to me outright seems to be Unraveling Mummy. You have to build around Unraveling Mummy. And granted, again, I just mentioned there are a lot of white-black zombies, so if you build a white-black zombie deck, he seems kind of, out of the five multicolor creatures that we have, he seems kind of lackluster to me. But we do have a lot of 4-4 zombies and stuff like that, and there are cards that once you embalm them or you eternalize them, they get the zombie type. So that's also something to keep in mind. You can give the cat that has double strike, and can now give it death touch and lifelink, making it kind of ridiculous when you look at it in the long run. But that's, again, that's just a card you have to build around. I don't think it's necessarily first pickable out of the five to me. The other four, though, look pretty solid. I'm a huge fan of Obelisk Spider and River Hoopoe. River Hoopoe late game, it's just able to draw cards game life, and it can block most 2/2s or 1/2s or whatever really early game. And late game, it's just a monosync. Obelisk Spider, when you deal combat damage, when a spider deals combat damage to a creature, it puts a -1/-1 counter on that thing. And then whenever you, as a player, put a -1/-1 counter on a creature, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. So in Two-Headed Giant, this card will stand out particular because it's then going to start draining both heads for one and you're going to gain two. By itself, it's going to start draining a lot. Plus, there are cards in Omniket like Wither and Agony and stuff like that that can put more -1/-1 counters on stuff. Side note, I also do have an Ishkanon deck, and I'm looking forward to putting this in my deck for EDH purposes. So I might be a little biased on the spider. But what do you think, Elon?
It's funny, I knew you were going to say something about the Obelisk Spider, and I was going to mention something just because you have a hard-on for this card. You have a hard-on for all spiders, but I knew you were going to mention something about this spider. And again, if you can synergize this with like -1/-1 counters in your commander deck, I think it's going to be insane. Just because the effect is really... Going back, I'm talking about the mummy is probably, again, the worst of the multicolor cards. And there's not too many. There's five, and then there's some of the split cards, which we'll talk about again. But there's not a lot of multicolor cards, so if you get one of these, I feel like you're going to see them more often because there's not that many. The Bloodwater Entity, there's not a lot of blue and red sorceries and instants, but like still being able to pull something from your graveyard and put it on top of your library, that seems insane. Maybe not for some of the red cards in this set. A lot of the blue cards are pretty strong, but in the previous set, there is going to be a lot of instants of sorcery that we can pull, a lot of good blue cards that we can pull from our graveyard. River Hope, I like River Hope. Like, in this set, I feel like blue-green is going to be pretty strong. A lot of the green creatures are just huge. And being able to gain two life and draw a card late game just seems like another good guy. You know, a 2-mana 1/3 with flying seems fine. You're going to be able to block a lot of the creatures in this set. River Hope not dying. Going back to last set, having synergies with Resolute Survivors seems okay. I don't like that it doesn't have a great ability on its own and an additional ability for how many creatures you exert. But still, being able to deal one life to an opponent seems really good. The fact that you drain them seems really good. Like, gaining the life in red-white can be very relevant if you're trying to race. But in the previous set, you have so many exert creatures. That seems really good, honestly. Like, a 3-mana 3/3 already. The fact that it has a 3 body so it can kind of get in that damage and not really have to worry about being blocked seems really good. I like these a lot. Talking about the Obelisk Spider last, I think in the colors, going back to talking about the god, you're going to have a lot of synergies with black. So with the Negwin counters, it just seems really good. Again, if you're going to be playing with the Scorpion God, and you can be able to splash green or splash red, whatever you're trying to do. Putting -1/-1 counters on a creature with a god seems really good. And then getting the triggers off of the spider seems good, too. I mean, like, a lot of these multicolored creatures, they seem like they're going to be splashable. Not really. You're going to be playing these colors. But again, you might be seeing these more so because there's not too many multicolored creatures. So you might be seeing these creatures a lot more drafting. You're probably going to see them a lot sealed. In that case, they seem really good. For the exception of Unraveling Mummy, that seems probably like the worst to me.
Point taken for sure. I didn't double check the Resolute Survivors on that. Now looking at that, it does seem a bit lackluster. You do have to, like the Unraveling Mummy, build a deck around it. But the benefit with Resolute Survivors is you don't have to pay for its abilities necessarily. You just have to exert your creatures. And then there are cards from Amonkhet that can untap all your exert creatures. So just because you go all gung-ho doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be left defenseless. And even if you are left defenseless, you do gain one life for each time you exert a creature. So if you exert, say, five creatures, that's a 5-point life buffer. I mean, if you put a Glorybound Initiate in this deck with Resolute Survivors, you're just gaining even more life, which is ridiculous. But it has potential looking in on it. I think we both are agreed, though. Unraveling Mummies, definitely a build around compared to the others. And the others are just super splashable. But I think we'll go ahead and move on to the split cards. I think in this set there were only 10, roughly, compared to last Omenkit, where I think there were around 15 or so. We'll end up starting with Eve. 2-drop instant, return any number of target lands you control to your hand, and then its aftermath is for 4. Discard any number of cards, and then draw that many. I'm not a huge fan of Leech. Somebody might find a use for it. It seems cheeky at best, even in like something like EDH. It seems rather cheeky to me. It doesn't necessarily fit in Landfall decks. The only use I could see, and it's a terrible use coming to mind, but the only use I could see is if somebody tries to Armageddon you, and that is a possibility, by the way, folks, in case somebody's like, oh, Armageddon's not in Standard. Well, don't forget, it's part of the invocation. So if you don't want to get hosed, you can go, I'm going to return like 3 lands to my hand from an Armageddon and not get hosed, and my opponent's just going to be sitting there with no lands, and I'm going to start dropping my lands again. So it's super sideboardable to me, but that's about the extent of Leave. Consign is almost the same spot. Return a non-land permanent to its owner's hand seems all right. Discarding 2 cards seems all right. Appeal, it's a pump at sorcery speed, so it's not terrible. A creature will gain trample and plus X, where X is the number of creatures you control, so it can be a very good boost, especially with that trample. Authority, which is Appeal's flip side, just locking down 2 things isn't bad. Going on to Refuse, I honestly don't know how to rate Refuse. It's one of those cards that seems odd to me. Deals damage to target spell's controller equal to that spell's converted mana cost. That seems kind of niche. If they drop Nicol Bolas, you can go, okay, I'm going to Refuse. You're going to take 7 of the dome anyways, which is fine. But if their deck's just got a bunch of 1-2 drops, it doesn't seem that great to me. And it doesn't actually work as removal either, because it deals the damage to the spell's controller, so you can't even redirect it's like a creature, which is what something I would have preferred. Although with Cooperate, you do get to copy it, so you can go, I guess, Refuse, and then with whatever spell it is, since Cooperate's in the grave, you can maybe copy that spell, or I'm not exactly sure on the wording, but you might be able to copy Refuse, which, if you're able to do that, seems really good. But again, your opponent has to have high drop stuff. Farming, destroy target attacking or blocking creature, really solid for limited, really solid for draft. I'm not going to turn my nose up at it if it's passed to me. And then mark it, draw 2 cards, then discard 2 cards. It's not terrible. I think out of all these, farm to market seems, at least to me, the most draftable, the most sealable out of that first set.
Yeah, talking about these 5, starting with Leave, returning any number of target permanents, I honestly like this. If there's a lot of ETBs in this set, I definitely agree. Being able to play this card limited. It seems very okay. Again, that you can choose any number of targets. I like that more than just return everything you control, because like if you're in the state base that you don't want to just recur everything back to your hand and then having to discard it in a turn or whatever the case may be, I like that you can choose. And again, like if you have ETBs or if you have like a planeswalker and you want to just bounce it from getting just attacked and killed, you can do that. I like that a lot. The flip side of it being so chance, discard any number of cards and then discard that many. I like any effect like this, but you're only going to be playing this. You're not going to be playing this in a red deck unless it's like compared with blue. But you're not going to be. It's going to be hard to be able to play some of these multicolor cards where you can synergize with them being in the top half of the color, and then they just don't even the bottom half. I just don't like that. I don't like a like white red. You're not going to be able to play the discard unless you just have like a lot of lands like game. And then just kind of like refill your hand. I just don't think it's great. For 4 mana, I just don't like it. Going on to Consign, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. In any set, I think this card is just really great limited-wise. Being able to return anything is just always good. Again, if there are cards with like ETBs, it might be an issue, but I don't think there is with this set. I don't think there's a lot of ETBs, so I think it's a fine card. And then its other flip side, target opponent discards 2 cards. I never liked effects that make opponents discard in limited. It just seems really, really bad. Unless it's like 2-headed giant, it seems like kind of a little bit better. Sealed, that effect is a little bit better. But if you're drafting, that effect is never great. I do like the first half, the 2 mana, the return something. I love those type of effects in next card being a pill. Until end of turn, target creature gains trampling, gets XX, where X is the number of creatures you control. I've never liked any cards that cooperate with how many creatures you control, whether it's power and toughness or giving something power and toughness until end of turn. I've just never liked those cards. It being one mana seems like an okay pump, but it's sorcery speed. I'm not a fan of it. The second half to that being authority. Tap two, target creatures your opponents control, and creatures you control gain visions until end of turn. I do like this spell for two mana. That seems great. The downside, of course, being the first half, you having to play green. I feel like you can play both of these colors and both of these spells pretty easily. I just don't like the first ability. Being one mana and then two mana, I like the cheapness of both the spells. I just don't like playing this color combo. I think going to the next card being Refuse. Refuse deals damage to target spells controller equal to that spell's converted mana cost. Really weird card. For four mana instant, seems okay. Again, if you're going to be in the archetype of being blue-red, is it? Seems pretty interesting. I like it because they're playing their bomb early game or late game, and you just deal damage, and it seems really good. There's a lot of evasive creatures in blue-red. If you're just getting damage early game, you're playing these type of weird cards that kind of just deal damage to them, because there's a lot of dealt damage cards in red. I like this a lot. The second half, cooperate. Copy target instant or sorcery. You may choose new targets. I think this is good. I think this is good for the blue-red deck in Standard right now with Gearhulks. I think this is insane. I don't know what Carl was saying. I don't know if you can, on the stack, use this to copy Refuse. I'm not sure. Again, that's something we're going to have to look into. I'm kind of curious about that. I don't believe you can. But again, if you can, that'd be super insane. But again, I like this card a lot. I want to play with this and kind of learn it for Limited. I think it's going to be okay. I think it's very odd, but I like it. Going on to the last card for this is Farm. Destroy target attacking or blocking creature. Going on to the last card, Farm. Instant, 3 mana. Destroy target attacking or blocking creature. I love this card. These type of cards for Limited are just great. I think this is great because you can choose what you kill. In Limited, this is great. This kills bombs. This gets rid of bombs. Again, this is the normal basic card we've had before in Limited. I love these cards. Any removal is really great in Limited, and I just didn't see a lot of kill spells in this set so far, and so I think this card is great. And the second half to this card is called Market. 3 mana, draw 2, discard 2. I would like this more if it was an instant, of course. I guess I'd be a little bit too more powerful, but again, the color combo with this just doesn't really match up with this set, I don't see. Maybe it does, I'm not sure. I feel like blue-white in this set seems pretty okay because you have a lot of evasiveness in blue-white. So I guess you could play this and this being actually a really good spell. But I like the card a lot. I like all these cards. Out of the most, I probably like Consign, the return target, permanent. I love that. For 2 mana, that's insane. And then the Refuse and Cooperate. I like the weirdness of this card, and I think it might be a little bit playable. I'm not too sure. It's hard to evaluate some of these cards, but that's my nits on it.
It's actually good you brought Leave back up again. I appreciate that because I misread the card. I thought it specifically said return any number of target lands to your hand. So that's what I was like, oh, hey, you got a... It's Armageddon proof. They actually did something for an invocation, sure. Yeah, but returning target permanence does make this card a lot better. White usually has a lot of ETBs. Red on occasion has 2 or 3 ETBs, so it's not terrible. It's still fringe for me. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it does give red the option to do something, especially in Boros colors, which is something they don't get very often, that is to draw cards. I think it'll probably end up being very EDH-able now that I reread it, but outside of that, I don't see it seeing standard play, and seeing sideboard play and sealed play in draft is very iffy. Again, it depends on what your opponents have and what kind of ETBs we can abuse, that sort of thing. Moving on to the next 5. First is Struggle Instant. Deal damage to target creature equal to the number of lands you control. Really love removal, and this seems pretty good. And then it's also comboed with green, and red-green's usually a pretty strong color combo, which is Survive, and that's each player shuffles his or her graveyard into their library. I've never been a huge fan of giving my opponent back their deck whatsoever, but maybe it might stop Delirium decks. I don't know. I don't really see a purpose in using Survive. I really enjoy Struggle, though, and Sealed and Draft Struggle seems pretty strong. Claim to Fame is arguably the most broken card out of this set, and that's a whole topic, but the long and short of it is this card will see play in Modern, specifically in Death Shadow. It'll see play there. The reason being, sorcery for one black. I can return any creature cost two or less from the graveyard to the battle. So that gets back Death Shadow, that gets back Tarmogoyf, that gets back Snapcaster Mage if they're playing the Grixis version of it. But that leads us to the other side of this, which is Fame. Target creature you control for the cost of two, one colorless and one red. Gains haste and gets +2/+0. Now, you don't have to target the creature you just got out of grave, although it's beneficial if you target the creature that you probably just got out of grave so it can start swinging again, so your Death Shadow can get in there for 7/6 or whatever it is at that time, or your Tarmogoyf, your Snapcaster Mage. But if you're playing the Grixis version, you maybe want to target your Tasker, your Gormag Angler, or something like that. And it doesn't just have to be in these decks that this card is played, folks. But that's the deck that this card's for sure going to go into. I don't want to say this is probably going to lead to a banning in the future out of something from Death Shadow, but just keep an eye out on it, folks. The next card, of course, is Reason to Believe. I really enjoy Reason. It's a one-drop Scry 3 at sorcery speed, so it doesn't seem that great initially, but it also might make its own Modern deck. And it's one of those cards that goes, I'm going to Scry 3. Oh, hey, there's a Miracle on top of my deck. I'm going to cast this Retreat of Angels next turn, so long as I don't play a mill deck or something. It could be the thing that Miracles needed to see play in Modern. The Belief portion, I'm not a huge fan of, per se. Look at the top card of your deck. If it's a creature card, put it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, you put that card into your hand. It's not bad. At the cost of 4, though, it's one of those things you're going to have to set up. So basically, you don't want to use this card turn 1, unless you know what's on top of your deck, so then you could have Belief for Aftermath later. It is one of those cards that I think it's going to be something to keep an eye on. The next card is Driven to Despair. Driven, until end of turn, whenever a creature you control deals combat damage, draw a card for 2. I really enjoy this card at sorcery speed. I think this is going to see a lot of play in EDH, maybe some play in Standard. Outside of that, though, it's hard pressed. And Despair, of course, is whenever an opponent's dealt combat damage by a creature you control, that player discards that many cards. So it could be a one-sided thing. I don't see a lot of use for it in draft environment. It is a card you're going to have to build around, but it is splashable, to say the least. Grind, the final card, the final split card, of course, is put a -1/-1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures. So going back to the Obelisk Spider, in this set, that combos very well with the Obelisk Spider. So you get Grind, you play Obelisk Spider, you just hit your opponent effectively for 4 damage without having to swing. The Dust part is exile any number of target creatures with -1/-1 counters on it. With Dust, it does seem very good too, considering there are -1/-1 counter decks out there, but this card in particular seems kind of sideboard playable.
I'm going back starting with Struggle. I think Struggle is a great card. Dealing damage equal to your lands can just take out a bomb most of the time. It'd be an instant. It just seems very, very great. 3 mana, very easy to cast. Don't have to worry about like double blue or double red, rather. The single red and 2 colorless seems really good for spell, but removal being really light in this set, so still being really, really great. And then Strive on the second half, each player shuffle his or her graveyard into his or her library. Just, again, what Carl was saying, it just seems really bad. Giving back your opponent in limited all their bombs and their really great spells just seems horrible. I'm not a fan of that kind of effect. And then the second card being Claim. Claim being probably one of the best impactful cards for different formats, mainly being Modern. The recursion just seems insane. The fact that Snapcaster has an ETB and being able to trigger that ETB with Claim just seems so strong. Having the other cards, having a card like Cold Guns Command affecting that just seems another thing that you can recur your creatures back with. Claim is going to impact Modern just very heavily, and I'm excited to see where that ends. And then even the second half of Claim being Fame, giving something haste in that deck just seems very strong. I'm excited to see how this card affects Modern and the decks that run it, of course. Going on to the third card being Reason, it's hard to evaluate this card. This card seems really, really odd. The Scry 3 but having no effect of drawing seems really odd to me in blue. But being one blue Scry 3 just seems very, very mediocre. Again, I like this card a lot. I just don't know how to evaluate it as far as Modern playable. I just don't see it play. Even for Standard, standard, any format, I just don't like this card. And then the half of that being 5-mana Believe, I'm looking at the top card and then playing something for free as far as a creature, actually does seem pretty strong. And the fact that you're going to be setting up your draws seems really strong. So revealing a creature, your bomb, maybe, and just playing this for free seems really good. Again, if you're going to be paying 5-mana for this second half to be able to play something for free, it's almost the same as playing the actual creature. So I think limited-wise, it's just a very mediocre card. I personally would not play it. Going to the next card being Driven, 2-mana until end of turn, creatures you control gain trample. I like this effect already. I like seeing the creatures in green being gain trample. Trample is just so strong. Seems really strong in this set. And then for them dealing damage and drawing a card seems really strong. For 2-mana, seems very good. The second half, not being as strong, the same effect, but them given menace. And it's a loot. It's a loot instead of you drawing a card, it's a loot. I like Despair just for the menace fact, because you can get in for a lot of damage. And again, this color combo has to deal a lot with Negwin counters, which I like. But I like this card, because in any deck, being able to draw cards or loot is just always good. Last card being Grind, 2-mana, sorcery. Put a Negwin counter on each to up to 2 target creatures. I think this card is great, especially with the other half of this card, being able to exile any number of creatures with Negwin counters on them. I think it's great. I think this card is just insane in green-black. Again, any removal spell, I don't like the fact that this is a rare, because, again, this I only see this being played in limited, but always being able to kill anything just seems really good. But the fact that you can play this in the Zombies deck and maybe being able to recur some of your Zombies with a bomb seems really good, just because of the second half of this. Just getting rid of all, exiling all creatures that have Negwin counters on them, which, if they are your own, seems really bad, but I still like this card a lot. I think it's a playable for limited. I'm talking about these five monocolored bombs for limited. I love these. I love big majority of them. Starting with the first one, Crescent Sunmare. I love this card. I think there not being a whole lot of removal in this set makes this 5-mana 5/5 horse just insane. In step, creating a 5/5 horse, and then giving all your other horses indestructible. This seems really great. Going back to the second card, Anesh is a 6-mana Sphinx flying. Sphinx spells you cast cost 2 less to cast. Me and Carl were looking over this set, and there's only one other Sphinx. I personally don't like this. It's literally a 6/4/4 flyer. You will rarely get to resolve this other ability, which is whenever a Nesh or another Sphinx enters the battlefield under your control, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. An opponent separates these cards into 2 piles. Put one pile into your hand and the other into the graveyard. I don't think this is a great effect. I just don't see this being a great limited card in general, just because there's one other Sphinx in this set and it's rare. I'm not a fan. Going on to the third card, Razaketh. 8-mana, triple black, 5 colorless, flying, trample, 8/8. Card seems insane. If you can cast it, if you get it, if you can cast it, seems crazy. Being able to pay 2 and tutor for any creature to sack a creature in the colors that you're going to be in seems crazy. If you're going to be in black-green, which is primarily the colors that you're going to want to be in, to be able to sack something to find another huge creature, being able to cast this card being triple black is just going to be very difficult. But if you do cast this, I see nothing in this set to really get rid of this guy. This guy's a monster. Seems like a really sweet card. I would definitely play this card. I would super first pick this card. This card is just very huge. Going on to the fourth card, Neheb the Eternal. I love this card. I love the new Afflict mechanic. Afflict 3, whenever this creature becomes blocked, defender player loses 3 life. Then at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, add 1 mana for each 1 life your opponent has lost this turn. It's a 4/6. Card seems really insane. I love this card. Easy to cast. In the red deck, I love this card. I think it's great. The body on it's nice. Being able to add mana just seems really good for red. You can play this in like red green and just play your like red green monsters for limited and just add a bunch of mana and just go nuts. You can probably also do this like in a red black shell. Again, making your opponent lose life with Negwin encounters and just casting big things. And the last card being Majestic Myrarch. Again, I talked about this earlier on the split cards, but this is a 5-mana star. Its power and toughness are equal to twice the number of creatures you control. I usually hate these type of effects on creatures that have power type that's equal to the number of creatures you control, but this doubles, and I actually like this guy a lot. Most times, this guy's gonna be a 4/4 or a 6/6, depending on how many creatures. Of course, it counting for itself, making it a 2/2. I love this card, and then gaining the ability of other creatures you control seems really good for this set. There's a lot of evasiveness, a lot of flying, so adding this to any other color combination in the set seems pretty good with this guy. This guy is. All of these five creatures are like another, just kind of like the gods, it's another limited bomb that you're going to be able to play and easily be able to play. You don't have to splash for these guys. They're just single mana cost. Like they're great. I love this. I love this set so far.
All right. Points taken. So my opinion, again, going down the same line, I really enjoy Crested Sunmare. It's going to be limited bomb for sure. I think there's only one card in the set right now that kills this and just about everything in the set when it comes to an effective board wipe, and that is Hours of Devastation. If I remember right, it says all creatures lose indestructibility, and all planeswalkers and all creatures except Nicol Bolas take 5 to the dome. So that will wipe your field of forces, but that's pretty limited, folks. As long as you keep the original Crested Sunmare alive, there's nothing that's going to be short of stopping. Now, unfortunately, it isn't legendary, so you can't build this horse deck legendary that everyone wants to do. You can't put a unicorn on this and, you know, go ham wild, but I'm sure there's someone out there that's going to try. Anesh, I'm not going to try to pronounce his middle name at all. It's just one of those things that makes you go, Wizards, why did you do this? But it is a 4/4 flying legendary. Sphinx costs you 2 less to cast, and you get a mini factor fiction. Overall, I don't think this card's terrible. If you get it in draft, and it is a bomb, don't get me wrong, it is a bomb. If you get it in draft or sealed, it's definitely second, third pickable, I think. You just don't expect to be casting Sphinxes for cheap. There are a lot of Sphinxes in Amonkhet. It's just there aren't a lot in Hours of Devastation. There are 2, and then I think there are 3 other Sphinxes, and it's not going to get you very far. It does die to quite a bit of removal. It doesn't have a way to really protect itself. It has evasion, which is fine, but it's a very niche card. I think this places an EDH, and even then it's very 50-50. I mean, we could finally build that Sphinx tribal deck everyone's always wanted. I mean, it's not like Shroom existed or anything, but that's just what I think on Anish. I'm not impressed. Razaketh is insane if you can get him on the field. There are very few destroy target creature cards in Hours of Devastation. There are very few cards like that in Amonkhet overall. Now, there are quite a few Raz spells, so that is something you're going to have to watch out for. But outside of that, there is nothing that can legitimately kill Razaketh. Not even Nicol Bolas can kill Razaketh. Nicol Bolas is -4, he deals 7. Razaketh specifically is an 8/8, so that's just something to keep in mind of the power of this card. If you have him on the field, as long as you like don't decide to block and then your opponent just like fives him or whatever, Razaketh's gonna be there and he's gonna win the game if you can get him out. That is the big contingency there. Neheb, out of all these cards, I think Neheb is probably third best when it comes to these 5. The fact that he has a flick guarantees that you're going to get at least three red mana on your next second main phase, which is fine. I personally would have rather him have like Menace rather than Inflict, but that's just me. There is a way in EDH to get infinite combat steps, but I'll be discussing that a little bit later with him. And then Majestic Myarch is probably the best bomb out of all these. I'm not a huge fan of it, but the fact of the matter is it's super splashable at 1 green. It doubles its power. At least it's going to be a 2/2 at all times, which it's not great, but it's something. And the fact of the matter is at each combat step, he becomes Audric. So you do have to have abilities. So if you draft Majestic Myarch, keep in mind you have to have abilities. You can't just draft him as a vanilla. Otherwise, it's just going to be a vanilla double whatever it is, which is fine, but you want other stuff. You want First Strike, you want Flying, you want to have the Crested Sunmare in there so this thing has Indestructible. Just saying. Keep that in mind, folks. If you have Crested Sunmare and Majestic Myarch and you still lose the game, something went horribly wrong for you. I feel sorry for you, but at the same time, sorry not sorry. I think we'll move on to the next cycle, though, and that's going to be the... I'm going to call it the last cycle. Effectively, that's what it is. It's the all the gods' last doings before they perished, I think, or at least that's what the story is. So Aketra's Last Mercy, sorcery, your life total becomes your starting life total. It's not bad, it's a panic button. It's not my high priority. I think I could effectively pass this to my opponent and not care. I'd much rather prefer Kefnet's Last Word, which does take enchantments, it takes artifacts, it takes creatures. So you can steal your opponent's bomb out of the last cycle. It's definitely one of my favorites. Bone 2's Last Reckoning, destroy all creatures, pretty self-explanatory. Also a panic button. I don't think you want to give this to somebody. If you can, I think it's pretty takeable. First, second, maybe even third pick. Hazoret's Undying Fury. Look at the top four cards of your deck, and you may cast any number of converted mana cost cards, five or less, for free. At six, at sorcerer speed, not a huge fan of it. And then Rhonos's Last Stand. It's a two-drop sorcery, double green, put a 5/4 green snake onto the field. I think it's absolutely fantastic. But out of all of them, I think Rhonos's Last Stand's, to me, at least the most draftable, the most sealable. Probably followed up by Kefnet and Bone 2, but that's just my thought on it. What about you, Keelan? Are there any of these last cycle that kind of stand out to you?
When we first saw these, the board wipe, Bone 2 was just the best. Like, it seemed kind of interesting, just like destroying all creatures for 3 mana. It just seemed very, very strong. Seeing this in limited seems pretty good, even late game. I like this card a lot. I like Bone 2's Last Reckoning. I think it's one of my favorites out of the most. Eketra's, in limited, no. And Commander, yes. Commander seems like a really interesting, fun card. Maybe tapping everything just seems kind of bad, but I feel like this effect is pretty relevant for Commander. Seems really good. Going on to the blue, Kefnet's Last Word. I'm getting control of target artifact, creature, or enchantment. This being in standard, I liked more than most being in limited or any other format. We already have this card in other formats, like Control Magic. Of course, seeing how broken Control Magic is, I feel like this card is going to be a really great card for limited, but I don't know how to evaluate it yet. Going on to Hezret's Undying Fury, of course, like Arl was saying, like this, every other god having a last word, Hezret kind of still being alive is what we're assuming. I like the lore behind this. I like that they kind of show this off with these spoilers. But shuffling your library, then exile the top four cards. You may cast any number of non-land cards with CMC 5 or less from among them without paying their mana cost, lands on the tap. So this card just seems, the fact that you can cast any of the four cards seemed very strong. At first, when I first looked at this, I thought it was just you got to choose one and cast without. You got to cast for free. But no, casting four of these cards for free, this seems like something that we can play in Maelstrom Wonder or something in Commander, something really good in Commander. We can probably play this in like Storm Commander. Being limited, I think it's going to be great and limited if you have a lot of payoff for this. If you have a lot of things you can hit off this and just not like a fast, aggressive red deck, if you're comboing this maybe with like black or white or green, seems like Hezret's Undoing Fury like could be very, very great with a lot of other combinations in limited besides like blue. But I like the card a good bit. Realizing that you can like cast four free cards just seems very strong to me. Unlimited being 6 mana is a little loose, but I still like this a lot. And then the last one being Rhonos's Last Stand, making the 5/4 for 2 mana early in the game seems very strong. If we have other cards in this limited set where the last to create copies of tokens, making a bunch of 5/4s is just insane. A 2 mana 5/4 already seems so strong early game. You can literally aggressively kill your opponent with a 5/4. In this set, there's not too many big creatures. There's a few, so getting this thing off early, I actually think it's probably one of the stronger cards in limited. I don't know how to really see this card, but I see it as a 2 mana 5/4. That's just all I can see it as. And then that seems super strong in like a very aggressive like green red deck or a green white deck. That is my opinion on these cards. I like them a lot. I personally think, again, Rhonos's Last Stand is the most playable, having a 2-mana 5/4. Bone 2's Last Reckoning, destroying all creatures, seems strong. I don't think the drawback on these cards is very poor, just because a lot of these have a great effect, for the exception of Eketra's. Putting you back at 20 late game, but tapping out could be a problem. Again, if you have creatures, I don't see the super downside to these cards. I think these cards are actually going to be pretty bombs in limited. I think they're going to be definitely fine, definitely okay. If you're going to be in the blue-red archetype, both of the blue-red cards seem super strong. If you have the multi-card we were talking about, Bloodwater Entity, if you can get these cards back from your graveyard to your library, on top of your library, it seems insane. Recasting these you know, copy in a creature, enchantment, or artifact seems strong, and then shuffling and just playing stuff for free seems really strong with Hazard's Undoing Fury. But that is my opinion on these. I think they're very, very great for limited. For other formats, I can see Bantus destroying all creatures for 3 mana. I can see that being played somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but we'll have to see where these cards get played. I like these cards a lot. My favorite probably being Bantu's Last Reckoning, Kefnet's Last Word, and Hezron's Undoing Fury, and Roneness's. I don't know what number I would put these two from 1 to 5, but I like them all for the exception of Akedra's.
So for this last little bit, we kind of went over the major cards that we want to talk about, but I think we're now going to pick select cards out of Hour of Devastation, just to give our brief summarization on them, see what we think of them. For my first card, I'd actually like to talk about Hour of Revelation. 3-drop sorcery, destroy all non-land permanents. Its casting cost is reduced by 3 if there are 10 or more non-land permanents on the battlefield. I think this is going to be strongest in EDH. I don't think this is going to be very draftable or sealable in the long run. If anything, you're going to be playing the sideboard for the fact that it's still 3 white, it's still heavy. But here's the kicker, is if we see a control deck in Esper for whatever reason, I think this might be the go-to Wrath spell late game. It does do things that Fumigate doesn't do. It gets rid of Planeswalkers. It does do things that Bantu's Last Reckoning doesn't do, and that is not keep your lands tapped. In a long run, they might be comparable. They're Hour of Revelation and Bantu's Last Reckoning are very near hand-in-hand, at least in my comparison.
So I think with Hour of Revelation, if there are, for standard, if there is a lot of decks that are very aggressive, very fast, I feel like Bantu's is going to be a better word wipe. With this card, I like this card, but being triple white, it seems very practical to cast. But still, hitting non-land permanents seems very strong for standard and for limited. Limited, the only reason it just seems very bad is just it's triple white. If you're with this format, you're going to be in 2 colors. You're going to be in 2 to 3 colors with this format. So the triple white is going to be very hard to play, but limited-wise, it seems really good if you're just base white splashing another color, which is going to be very hard to do. But if you can, that's great. I don't think white is strong enough to just to be able to play this card and be mono-white splashing another color, so I think this card limited-wise just won't see play. In EDH, I see this card being highly played in a lot of decks. It seems very, very great in Commander. Other formats, it just seems okay. Again, like if we see like an Esper build in standard, I can see this being really good. Again, even if in standard you were playing an Esper deck, you would have to be pushing more to playing white, just because the triple white on this is very hard to just be playing. But against a lot of aggressive decks, this does seem really good in standard. But again, you would have to be a base white control deck splashing. Again, if you were Esper, you can easily do that, but you would have to have some amount of base white to be able to play this. Next card we're going to be talking about is Hour of Glory. Probably, to me, being the best removal spell in this format. Again, limited-wise, it's going to be hard to just randomly pick up this card. It being a rare, a 4-mana instant exile target creature. If that creature was a god, its controller reveals his or her hand and exiles all cards from it with the same name of that creature. The second part of this just isn't super relevant. I just don't see the gods seeing that much play. Like, you're not going to be playing multiples if you are in any deck. But the exile target creature and getting rid of, like, the gods, that's the only way to get rid of the gods, is being able to exile them, just because of their recursion ability. Again, with this, anytime that we see a exile target creature in any limited, it's insane. We had a 5-mana exile target creature in an earlier set. I can't really remember that well what it was, but it was insane. It was really good. It was a first pick. This being a 4-mana instant exile target creature makes me believe that this is probably the best hour card for this set.
I would agree. The second ability isn't relevant at all. You're not seeing any of the decks play any of the gods from Amonkhet. I don't think very many, if any deck right now, is playing any god. They're just not that great. I think Ronus is seeing play as like a singleton. Sometimes maybe that would be the only god currently seeing play. Outside of him, every god's been a hit and miss. So you're going to be looking at Hour of Glory as, does it kill the other gods? And since the other gods aren't indestructible, but they recur themselves at the end of the turn, that's going to be where it's going to hit. It's going to hit the hardest. It's going to hit the Scarab God. It's going to hit the Scorpion God. It's going to hit the Locust God the most. And getting rid of those is a shoo-in. It also is one of the few cards in this set that deals with Razaketh, should you get him out on the field. Hour of Revelation does it. It's a bit harder to do. Anshu's Last Word does it. Again, a bit harder to do. Hour of Glory is probably going to be where it's at removal-wise. I think that's going to be the pinnacle of removal when it comes to that sort of thing. And that brings us into the last hour. At least we both agree that it's decent. Is Hour of Devastation. All creatures lose indestructible until end of turn, and it deals 5 damage to each creature at each non-bolus planeswalker. So this is great for a multitude of reasons. Great for EDH because it doesn't kill your bolus. Great to kill horse tribal should it occur in standard. Great to kill horses in general. Loses indestructibility, so it's going to stop Ulamog should he return into standard. I don't think he will, but if he does, he's going to lose it. So then you can just deal 5 to the dome and kill him somehow. So I think Hour of Devastation is a pretty good wrath spell. It might even be standard playable. It does give red something it's missing, and that is a wrath spell should the game not turn in their favor. So currently in Hour of Devastation, from what I see, we have at least 3 really good wrath spells. Hour of Devastation, Hour of Revelation, and Bantu's Last Reckoning. Out of these 3, which will be the top wrath spell? I'm not 100%. What do you think, Keelan?
So out of the 3, I think that Bantu's is probably kind of close to the best. It just depends where we're playing this card. Limited-wise, I think Hour of Devastation is kind of the best. Dealing 5 to a lot of things just literally kills everything in the format. For limited-wise, for standard, I can see some decks playing this. Maybe if standard becomes like this kind of like mid-range deck, maybe Teemer can maybe play this. I'm not sure. Teemer being like one of the best decks right now in standard, I see that this 5-man wrath is probably pretty decent wrath. Dealing 5 to everything kind of really hits pretty much everything. Everything in a lot of things in Teemer. It's Bristling Hydra. It hits all the big stuff. It hits a lot of other decks. Even if you're playing like Mono Black Zombies, it's a good wrath. I don't know if a lot of the standard decks right now are going to be playing this primarily, except for like Teemer. And in that case, Teemer's not going to be probably playing this. But again, this is a fine card. I think this is a great wrath. Probably this and Bantu's Last Reckoning. These two are probably the best wraths I've seen in this set. Hour of Revelation probably being the 3rd best. Of course, hitting non-lands is good, but dealing 5 to each creature is just very great. Hitting, you know, shooting planeswalkers for 5, it's a little irrelevant just because you're not going to see walkers a whole lot. So it's not like, for limited, it's kind of irrelevant for hitting walkers, but for hitting creatures in limited, seems really good. Seems great. I still think Bantu's for limited is probably the best. Just straight destroying all creatures. Seems great. Going back to Hour of Glory, something that I want to mention is, regardless of if they have gods or not, and we're playing limited, regardless of if they're playing gods, you're excellent target creature. Again, if they have a bomb, and it's not a god, but it's still a bomb, you're exiling. It is still probably the best removal spell for anything. Going up against any deck, it's probably just probably the best removal spell you want to have, just because it exiles, and you're getting rid of their biggest threat. It's just probably the best removal spell in the set so far that I've seen.
You know, actually, touching also on Hour of Glory, you know what it also does? It's the only hour out of the hour cycle that's instant, but the most important part of this is it kills Gideon. Gideon becomes creature, exile him, don't have to deal with Gideon anymore. Done. We found a way to deal with Gideon in standard, folks. He can drop in price now. Thank you.
Starting with the first card, we have Nimble Obstructionist. It is a 3-mana, 3/1, flash with flying, and it has cycling for 3. And it says, whenever you cycle Nimble, counter target activated or triggered ability don't control. I like this card a lot for a standard, first of all, just because it's a 3-mana, 3/1, flash flying. That's it. That's all you really need. If you're in these colors, and even if you're splashing, like, the cycling for it to draw a card, and, I mean, you're also, like, you're stifling something and limited. That still seems very great. This hits a lot of ETBs. It's a lot of things. Standard? I see this maybe being a standard card. I mean, you can kind of just use this as another stifle that we have in standard. And if you need it to be, it can be a 3-1, 3-mana flash flying creature that you can just kind of get to the game with. I don't know if you would use it, but again, you could use it as another stifle effect in standard. I think it's fine. But me personally, I think limited-wise, it's a really great card. Like you can use it so effectively to counter things, but you could also use it just to win games with evasiveness.
I think that's well said when it comes to it. He is another stifle ability, so where he's going to be useful I mean, most of the time in sealed in draft, you're going to be using him as a 3-1 beater. Let's be real here. On occasion, you'll draw a card with him with his cycling ability. That's kind of a waste of a 3-1, I think, unless you're stifling something specific. So there's very few things that come to mind when stifling right now. One of the few things, ironically enough, is probably Nicobolas. He can stifle Nicobolas. He can stifle Samut if you need him to for whatever reason. I mean, that's enough value for me. I really can't think of too much what I'm going to use him for. I just know that if I draft him, he's probably going in the deck. It's just a really solid card to me. I do want to talk about Amit Eternal. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a 3-drop, 5/5 crocodile with a flick 3. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a -1/-1 counter on it, and then whenever it deals combat damage to the player, remove all counters from it. So I really like this card. So I've actually kind of come up with a combo with this already in Standard. I think it's very viable, especially in Draft. You can probably come across it. And that is Vizier of Remedies. So when that card is in play, whenever something would get a -1/-1 counter, instead it gets one less -1/-1 counter. So you play Vizier of Remedies, then you play your Crocodile. Now you have a 3-drop 5/5 with a flick 3 forever. He's just going to be that until Vizier of Remedies dies. And I think that's super value. I really like this card. Granted, if you don't have the Vizier, he's not going to lose his counters because of the Afflict. That's just life loss. That's not combat damage. But it guarantees that even if he's a 1-1, he's always going to deal 3 damage, which is something I find. I really actually enjoy this card.
I'm talking about this card, Amit Eternal. I personally like it. For limited-wise, if you're in the black-green deck, this card's insane. This card is just a auto-include. Again, the Afflict 3 just seems so good for limited. I love this effect on creatures. I love this ability on creatures. I love it. Now, it's a 3-mana 5/5 just seems so good. If you're playing this on turn 3, your opponent plays a spell. They can probably only play one spell. This thing becomes a 4/4. You're attacking with a 4/4 on turn 4. I love this. I love the fact that... And again, like, on that turn 4, you're hitting them, and then you're removing the counters from it. You're always going to have this thing as a 4/4, pretty much. Again, this card is a good card for black-green. If you have this card for a limited pool for sealed or for draft, I mean, this is probably one of the better creatures I've seen. It's a huge 5-mana 3/3. It's insane. The next card we're going to be talking about is Chaos Maw. It's a 7-mana 6/6. Again, a big body, big butt. But when it enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to each other creature. One of the big things I like about this card is there's not too many ways to cheat this guy in. Again, this is another bomb. The thing I like about this is if you're playing white with this card, you can easily find ways to bounce this guy to re-enter to get the ATB effect. So you can, if you can, maybe deal 6 to the field. Again, this hits your creatures, which kind of makes it a little bad. But again, if you have anything, if you're playing like big monster deck like red-green and you have a lot of 4 toughness or 5 toughness creatures, you can easily get away with playing this card. Again, it's 7 mana, so if you play this card, you're going to be playing it in your deck. I think from a scale from 1 to 5, I think this guy is like a 3.5 to 4. I think this guy's really good, but again, the 7 is kind of hard to get to, and of course it's going to be, you know, destroying all your creatures for limited. Any other uses for any other formats, I don't see it being played at all. I see this just for limited. It's just a 7-mana 6/6 that deals 3 to everything. I think it's fine, but I think it's only deserves its place in limited. I think it's fine.
I also think this is probably going to be a limited bomb. To me, it's a bit lackluster. I kind of wish this thing had Trample, or wish this thing had Menace, or heck, I'd even take First Strike or Fire Breathing at this point. I don't think it's deserving of the rare slot. I know why they did it as a rare slot. They didn't want this to be an uncommon, and people just like, oh my god, it's uncommon. Let's take 6 of these. They didn't want it showing up that much. I just think that there could be something a bit more to it, but it's a fine card for limited. I think that's where it's going to be sitting for a while. But that brings us into Torment of Hailfire, actually, as a removal card. It also, in my opinion, kind of goes underneath the Wrath card category. It's a pseudo-wrath spell, so it's 2 black X. Repeat the process X times. Each opponent loses 3 life unless that player sacrifices a non-land, permanent, or discards a card. I really enjoy this card as something super janky, as something EDH-able, as something that's going to go into my archenemy Nicobolas deck, because why the heck not? It's one of those really good cards for that purpose. When it comes to standard playability or draftability, it's on the fence. it seems to give your opponent options, which you never really want to. You never want to give your opponent options. But the fact of the matter is, the options, unless they have like a massive amount of tokens or an unlimited hand size, the options just seem bad. They're discarding cards or sacrificing non-land permanents. So they're sacrificing their creatures, the artifacts, the planeswalkers, their enchantments, whatever's on the field at that given time to not lose three life, which I think is, it's fair. I think this card's going to be super annoying, and in the right deck, I think it's very abusable.
And going off of what Carl said, Torment of Hellfire, I think this card is actually really great for limited. Being able to play this on turn 5 for 3 seems pretty okay, seems good. It helps you get in with whatever you're playing. Like, if you're playing, like, a black-red or black-green, it helps you get in with damage. But another thing I like about this is that you play this late game, your opponent has one bomb in hand, they have a couple of huge creatures. Like, again, going off of this, I don't think this format has a lot of small creatures and it has a lot of tokens, so I feel like you're going to get rid of a lot of decent threats, making them sacrifice stuff. Again, it is non-land permanent, it's just not just creatures, but it seems like in this format, really just creatures. But something I like about this card is that, again, if you play a late game, you pay like 5 into the X, so they're probably discarding one thing if it's a land in hand, or if they have a bomb in hand, they're not going to discard. But making them lose 3 life seems really good, and also in Two-Headed Giant, this seems really good. This kind of seems like one of those things that would just win you a game in Two-Headed Giant. You don't get the double effect off of the, because it says each opponent, you don't get the double effect, but this still seems really good, making them sack stuff and discarding cards. This seems really good, and the fact that it's so cheap, because it's double and then X, you can pay a lot into this and limited. You can actually get a lot of value out of this card. I like the card a lot. I really do.
So I think we'll go ahead and call this here. So Keelan, do you have any place you might want people to follow you or stuff like that?
Yeah, just touching back up on this. This set's going to be great. It was great being on the show. Thank you, Carl, again. I really do appreciate helping you out, being here with y'all. If y'all do want to follow me on Instagram, I'm on Instagram as TheKeelanMe, and I am on Facebook as Keelan Snyder, if y'all want to check me out. Thank you, guys.
Then you can follow me on MTG Eternities at YouTube, or you can follow me at MTG Eternities on Twitter for all the latest. And so thanks again. And so as always, all lines of thought are open for all magic seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities signing out.